Well, hey, good morning and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Paul Pretty and I'm the teaching pastor at our Marion campus. This past Sunday, we continued in the label series as we walk our way through the Gospel of Luke, and we were in chapter 13. And it was a difficult message in terms of its content, its challenge, and really forcing us to think about and talk about things that often we don't like to do. The reason for that challenge really came from this word, perish. The way the story goes here is this group of people come up to Jesus and they tell him about a tragic event that has taken place where some Galileans, some Jews who had been worshiping in the temple are slaughtered by some of Pontius Pilate's henchmen, if you will. And it's so brutal and so horrific that their very blood is mixed with the blood of their animal sacrifices. And the assumption that these people are making as they come up to Jesus is that this horrific end that these people met, it must have been a result and a consequence of the horrible people that these people must have been. Meaning, the assumption was really bad things must happen to really bad people. That's the only sort of way they could make straight in their minds why this would happen. And Jesus responds to them, No, that's actually not the case. But unless you repent, you all will likewise perish. And then he follows up that with the telling of a second tragic event, the falling of the tower at Siloam. And this tower falls and it kills 18 people. And he says, well, you know, were the people in Jerusalem who were killed by this tower, were they any, you know, worse sinners or more extreme sinners than anyone else in Jerusalem? And he answers his own question, no, I tell you. But once again, unless you repent, you all will likewise perish. And that's what really got me digging into, what does Jesus mean by perish? You know, he can't mean die. That's not what the meaning of perish can possibly be, because, you know, a lot of people die, but not everybody dies by being slaughtered by Pilate, and certainly not everybody dies by being crushed by a tower. So, you know, that's one reason why perish can't mean die. Perish also can't mean die, because the way to avoid perishing, Jesus says, is to repent. And we know that some people do repent, and yet they still physically die. So perish must have a spiritual meaning, to die spiritually. And I looked into that, and the word perish in the Greek is apolemi. And the meaning here is to really come to utter ruin. One biblical scholar I read and commentator defined or gave a sort of a picture of the word apolemi or perish. And it's essentially ceasing to exist in the function that it was created to exist. So our souls, we were really created to exist in God's presence, to worship God and to find enjoyment in God. To experience apolemi or to perish is to cease to experience the fulfillment of that existence. It's to be separated from God. It's to not enjoy the presence of God. It's to be pushed out and to experience torture in a sense. It's hell. That's what we call hell. And that's where, you know, things are really difficult. And then when you place that warning from Jesus in the context of these two tragic events, and the fact that these tragic events didn't happen to these specific people because they were any worse than another, what you begin to piece together here is that Jesus is saying, look, life is short and you don't know when yours is going to end. And not only that, but when your life does end, as it will, unless Jesus comes back before it ends, what comes after death? Well, Hebrews chapter 9 says, it is appointed that every man should die, and after death comes judgment. And so what Jesus is saying here is, look, you're alive right now, but you don't know how long you're going to live. And when you do die, you need to know what the verdict of that judgment's going to be, or else you're going to perish. You're going to experience apolemi. And man, that's tough to think about, isn't it? And that's really what I challenged our folks with. And as I say that, you might have some theological red flags, you know, waving in your mind, because Jesus is saying, repent or you will experience hell. And you might be thinking, well, I thought it was faith. And that's absolutely correct. Faith is what saves us. Faith in Jesus Christ and his righteousness. But repentance is actually the fruit of faith. And when you look at these folks, they were thinking, well, I can avoid this horrible death if I'm really a good person. And Jesus is saying, you need to repent of your self-righteousness. You need to repent of this thinking that you can save yourself. And what do you need to do? You need to place your faith in me. You need to make me the source of your salvation. You need to make me your righteousness. You need to repent. And that's the challenge for all of us. You see, we need to repent of a view or a thinking that we are any better than anyone else. We need to repent of this thinking that we can work our way to heaven. And I know we mentally know that, but sometimes emotionally we believe that we are better. We believe sometimes that we can work our way. And Jesus is saying, repent of that. Because when we repent of that, what we are saying is, Jesus, I do trust you. Jesus, I know I'm not enough. Jesus, you are enough for me. Jesus, you are my righteousness. I am not my righteousness. And the good news of the Bible is that God desires every single person to repent. That's what 2 Peter says in chapter 3, is that God doesn't desire anyone to perish. God's desire is for no one to experience apolemy. And the reason we know that that's true, and the greatest way we know that is true, is because Jesus came and he lived and he suffered and he took the punishment for our sin upon himself. Jesus perished so we wouldn't have to. And that is good news that should lead us into worship, and that is good news that should motivate us to share the good news of the gospel with other people. So I just want to take some time to pray this morning. I'll go ahead and kick us off in prayer, and I'll ask you to pray at the end as well. But thanks again for joining us on the Drivecast, and I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your desire is not for us to perish, but your desire is for us to receive life. And I ask that you would, while it is difficult to consider, you would remind us that this life will come to an end one day. One day we will face you. And one day there will be judgment. And the question we need to all ask ourselves is, what is the verdict of that judgment? Is it me trying to attain righteousness on my own? Or is it me repenting of that self-sufficiency and placing my faith in you, Jesus, knowing that you are the only way to the Father, that you are my righteousness, that you are my only hope? Thank you, Jesus, for being the righteousness that I need in my place. Father, motivate us, give us the words, give us the relationships to share that good news with others, that we do not have to perish, but instead we can receive life. Father, we love you. We come to you in Christ's name.